It was interesting when the Australian government decided to put out a release around May the 4th about the Navy, Australian Navy having having an well, not an altercation, but that the Chinese had sent up a flare at an Australian helicopter, and there was a sort of implication that China was being threatening. Can you explain to my listeners why that is actually a massaging of the facts?
Yeah, so the defense release claimed that this helicopter was launched from the HMAS Hobart, which is one of our air warfare destroyers, was over there policing UN Security Council sanctions on North Korea in the Yellow Sea. They say, while we were innocently following, doing our job, implying but not actually stating that they have a UN mandate, right? But they're in China's exclusive economic zone, in right up close to its territorial waters. So what happened was the Chinese sent up a fighter jet, flew by, dropped flares a long distance in front of this helicopter, which is a standard way. It's a safe procedure prescribed by an international sort of accepted practice. To warn approaching aircraft away from areas they're not supposed to be in.
Yep.
And so the Chinese are saying that this was right up against their territorial limit, and that the helicopter, that was the third time after they'd vocally warned it, over the radio, they'd warned it away twice before, and the third time they sent the fighter jet to chase it away.
So why was the Australian Navy there?
Well, the Australian Navy was over there as part of a thing called Operation Argos. Again, this is what they claim is, they say the, implying it's the only and official, policing of UN Security Council sanctions on North Korea related to its nuclear weapons and ballistic missiles development programs. But that operation was actually established in 2019 and is run by the US 7th Fleet out of Yokosuka in Japan. There is no UN mandate for this. I'm not privy to what exactly they were doing there, but it is well known. It's been reported for a couple of years now that when they perform similar operations along the Chinese coast and in Chinese claimed waters in the South China Sea and the East China Sea, they go about collecting intelligence, dropping what are called sono buoys on behalf of the US Navy, essentially, because if you know about Pine Gap, Signals Intelligence Base in the middle of Australia near Alice Springs, it's the receiving station for our and the American signals intelligence. It intercepts communications from other places as well, collates all of that, and sends it into the Five Eyes network, the Anglo-American, Australia, New Zealand, Canada combined intelligence system. And so they're over there, they go over claiming these are freedom of navigation operations, or UN sanctions, or whatever other excuse they use. And they use these to spy on China. And in fact, a Chinese-speaking friend told me just this morning that it's being reported now that the Chinese exercise that this helicopter was snooping on was actually the seaworthiness tests for its new home-developed state-of-the-art aircraft carrier out of Shanghai, which would fit. I mean, Shanghai is sort of on the cusp of the Yellow Sea and the East China Sea. So, absent a coherent and plausible explanation from the Australian side, then that seems the more likely explanation.
So that we were spying on Chinese coastal defense and military exercises.
It's a practice that we've been doing for years, and that the Chinese have been raising complaints about, where we claim our freedom of navigation, where and in fact, the defense press release on the 6th of May even sort of alluded to this. It finishes by saying, I've got it here in front of me, defense has for decades undertaken maritime surveillance activities in the region and does so in accordance with international law, exercising the right to freedom of navigation and overflight in international waters and airspace, end quote. And so, well, are you policing sanctions, or are you doing maritime surveillance and freedom of navigation operations? You sort of pick one, right? You can't have it both ways.
Well, they're creating a narrative where they're the good guys and the Chinese are the bad guys.
Yeah, that's what they do. You would have heard this phrase, the rules-based order, right?
Yeah.
They go on and on about it. But it's not actually international law. It's the, I like to say, the basic idea of it is the, you know, we make the rules and everyone else follows orders, right? We make the rules and we break them as suits us, but you all have to do what we say, even if it isn't actually what's prescribed by international law. And it's sort of amusing, that, you know, we're claiming, well, yeah, but, the countries that we are trying to get, what the amusing part to me, looking at the way they do this and the way that the Americans in particular, and we tag along, but they ride roughshod over everybody else's, sovereignty in as much as they can get away with. Right. But, the countries that we're trying to get on our side through things like the Quad, you know, they talk about America, us, and Japan, and India. They're trying to get on board with this confrontation policy, this new Cold War on China. Indonesia, and even the Philippines, that they've recently signed up again to invite the U.S. Navy back in to have permanent bases on their territory that they got thrown out of years ago. Well, those three countries all agree with China's position that these freedom of navigation operations are actually not allowed under the UN Convention of the Law of the Sea, which the United States remains the one and only major maritime power that has not ratified that convention, but goes around claiming privileges under that, but ignoring the obligations of a treaty.
Australia has got a 6,000-kilometer-plus buffer between us and China.
Yeah, exactly. And if you look at statements, intelligence assessments by the United States Defense Intelligence Agency, the Pentagon's in-house intelligence service, as well as the U.S. Naval, the Office of Naval Intelligence, they both say China has, you know, obviously it has a nuclear missile deterrent, it has long range, as these things go, missile-based, what they call anti-access area denial defensive systems, but its force structure and its force posture are not aggressive. They're not designed for what the Americans euphemistically call power projection, right? They're not setting up 800 military bases in all over the world the way the Americans have. They're not interested in that game. What they've got is a highly developed system to defend their own land and territorial waters and what people used to call the near abroad.
Yeah.
Right. So out to about 1,000 kilometers, the West, the Americans, our government peddle this line that, oh, if Taiwan falls, then who's next? Right. Well, Taiwan under accepted international law and treaties, nobody anywhere ever officially argues that Taiwan is not part of one China.
Just as a matter of interest, why do you think the Australian government or the Navy actually put out a release? I find that very interesting. I mean, they don't just go, oh, we shouldn't have done that. They actually want to stir the pot, don't they?
It does seem to be that way. And there's a gentleman named Professor Clinton Fernandez, a former military intelligence officer and academic nowadays. He wrote a book titled Sub-Imperial Power, right? And so it seems that through over the generations that there's this mindset taken hold on both quote-unquote sides of politics in this country that our national interest is whatever keeps us in good with the Americans, even though it actually destroys all our actual national interests, right? And whatever people think of our export focus, raw materials export focused economy that we've shut down and offshored most of our manufacturing that used to make us self-sufficient that everybody's now panicking we don't have. And a lot of that went to China, but it's not like China stole it from us, you know. That was a result of Australian and American and British and other governments' policies. But as a result of that, we're economically dependent on exports to and imports from China, exports of raw materials, imports of manufactured goods. It's the only thing holding up our terms of trade. It's our economic relationship with China is the one of the, like, when they talk about trade balances and there's a term, it's not coming to mind, but the thing that Donald Trump was complaining about, right, that America's losing money on China, on trade with China, and we need to decouple and all of that stuff. Well, Australia has the most profitable, Australia's trading relationship with China is one of the most profitable in the world, whereas we lose money on our trading relationship with America. So by the Americans' own logic, we should cut them off and trade more with China. But of course, that's not how it works. And so...
No, it's funny you should bring that up, because we had a stoush with China, and they cut off our...
Barley,
that's right. And then the Americans start selling to the Chinese.
Yeah, they just swooped in and scooped up our market share. On soybeans as well, those so-called unofficial sanctions, economic coercion, and all these other phrases that the media come up with, these were not just out of the blue. These were long-standing issues that the Chinese had been, you know, Australia had filed 100 some mostly gratuitous complaints against China at the World Trade Organization before China ever filed any back.
But we do it at the instigation of the Americans.
For the most part, yeah. Although I will say that from our discussions with trade officials and diplomats from and former politicians from around the world, Australia is, there's this complete ideological devotion to this so-called free trade system. Australian trade officials are known internationally as the free trade Taliban. Yeah, so there is a as I say, I think Professor Fernandez said it best, and he just said, yeah, this is this mindset that that our top priority should be to keep in good with the Americans. And Paul Keating, in his inimitable style, said a couple of years ago, he said the alliance with the Americans has become a sacrament. You know, there's no consideration anymore of what's in it for us. It's not realpolitik. We don't have the capability to defend ourselves, so we're going to hedge our bets by having these strategic relationships with various countries. It's all just bowing and scraping to Washington, and it's actually undermining our security, because America has no intention of defending Australia. They couldn't if they wanted to, any more than China could invade and occupy it even if it wanted to.